You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
The Conservative Effect, 2010 to 2024. 14 wasted years after 14 years of Conservative government. We're rightly asking what changed for the better or worse during this prolonged period of power. The country experienced significant changes, including austerity, Brexit and COVID. Let's have a look at what this actually meant. Delighted to say that joining me live on the line is one of the authors of The Conservative Effect, Sir Anthony Seldon. Anthony, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you back again with us here at Talk Radio Europe.
The best radio station in Europe and beyond.
Well, thank you. Well, you've blindsided me on a Monday morning with that one, Anthony. Thank you so much. Right then, let's have a look at this. We may be the best radio station in Europe and beyond. What can we say about this Conservative government? 14 years, came in, if my memory serves correctly, with Cameron. Looks like it's going to go out with Sunak. What are we going to, as Margaret Thatcher once said about Tony Blair, history will not judge him well or not look back fondly at him. How will we judge these 14 years of conservative rule?
Well, look, I mean, there were some good things and there was some progress in some areas. But overall, I think it's a 3 out of 10. And of course, there were mitigations, if you like, the global financial crisis, which they inherited, although they certainly pressed the brake too hard in the austerity measures. Then there was Brexit, but that was a totally self-inflicted wound. Then there was COVID, which they didn't handle with the maturity and consistency that they should have done. And then there was the impact of the price rises and the destabilization of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And again, they didn't handle that as well as they could have done, as well as a mature government would have done. So then you could have say, well, why, you know, did it all go wrong? And it's largely because there was no consistency in what they were trying to do. Cameron did one thing. I mean, it was a lot to be said for it, but then May came in and did something else. And Johnson, well, goodness knows what Johnson was doing. And then Truss, we all knew what she was doing, and it was terrible and terribly timed. I mean, it was a good, you know, she wanted to do growth, which was what the country needed, but clearly she didn't approach it in the right way. And Rishi Sunak was left picking up the embers at the end and has had a really difficult wicket to bat on and probably could have done it better. So, I mean, I'm being quite charitable there. Not, you know, when you compare this period of Conservative government to Thatcher, who you mentioned, and Major, that was 18 years, or before that, there was a period under Churchill, Eden, Macmillan and Hume from 51 to 64. The big question there that was asked was 13 wasted years. Well, you know, there were wasted elements in that, but the 14 wasted years from 10 to 24 that are just closing now as we talk are enormously more wasted.
You've mentioned just the one word keeps springing out, which you said, Anthony, which was maturity. And, you know, you get the leaders that you deserve when you vote in. But for a lot of these, obviously the general public didn't vote these in. And it was I mean, I was doing a live TV broadcast when the Brexit result came in. And then Cameron, and remember, because Donald Trump was landing in Scotland at the same day. And then, of course, Cameron came forth and said, I'm off, basically. And so we've had a sort of a roller coaster of leaders.
So, well, absolutely. I mean, mature leaders matter, and you've got to be part of the problem is that in Cameron and Rishi Sunak, in particular, they were the youngest for 200 years, and you need to, no one's going to, run a company, run any big organization without the experience of having run big things beforehand, and they hadn't. I mean, no one's going to run one of the football teams in the Euros at the moment unless they've worked their way up the ranks. And these too many of them had come up just supercharged quickly without the experience, and you've got to have that experience to know what it means. I mean, being head of a country is not a funny thing, you know. It's not something as Boris Johnson did, you know, it's not just a jolly Eton jape. It's deadly serious. People's lives and livelihoods depend upon your wisdom, your thoughtfulness, your ability to be unpopular, not to go with the laugh, but to go with what's right for the country. And that's what has been missing.
You could argue that the last sort of two out of the three last prime ministers we've had, one very briefly, they've got to the top job and gone great, we're here, and then it's turned out to be harder than they expected, and they can't flannel it, and therefore that has, you might want to argue that that's had effect on the way that the British people now see our prime ministers, because obviously we had Partygate, and now we seem to be having Gamblinggate, and then we had the lettuce, and it's made politics almost a joke. And politics shouldn't, there should be some humour in politics, absolutely, but it shouldn't be regarded as an end of the peer show in Clacton.
Or indeed the end of the peer show on Westminster Pier. And absolutely, I mean, absolutely. So the book I wrote a couple of years ago was called Impossible Office? Again. And it looked at, has the job become impossible? The answer is no, most definitely it's not impossible. But the way that the incumbents, the people who have stepped into number 10, have chosen to do it, means that it all, you know, is in effect is impossible. So Boris Johnson didn't have the seriousness to be able to do the job. To be a good prime minister, you need to be a good human being, and you need to be good at the job. And it's a difficult job. Not impossible, but difficult. And Boris Johnson wasn't a good human being. He put himself first always, and he wasn't good at the job. So, you know, and Liz Truss didn't understand the job. She came in just not knowing what the job was about and not wanting to find out about it. And Rishi Sunak, I think, has tried, and not everyone's going to agree with it, but I think he really has tried to do the best. He's somebody who is very serious, works extremely hard. But by the time he came in, it was, you know, really difficult. So, yeah, I mean, everyone's looking now at Keir Starmer, in all likelihood going to be the Britain's new Prime Minister in just 10 days' time, at the head of Labour. The Labour Party's only seventh Prime Minister in its 120-year history. And, you know, he has got the experience. He's been leader of the opposition. He had an independent career. You know, he is somebody of judgment and maturity and standing. So I think, you know, whatever side one falls on, one just hopes that he's going to be able to restore the confidence in the job.
Do you think that the Conservative Party itself, after Boris's sort of night of the long knives, when we lost people like Nicholas Soames, etc., and we lost the more centrist voices in the Conservative Party. Has it changed the Conservative Party? Because I used to say I was Conservative with a small c, and then an awful lot of people are looking at what's been going on and, you know, all these policies that perhaps don't speak to the England that we many of us grew up in, and are slightly alarmed by the way it's been going and the overtures that are being made to the more extreme parties on the right.
So, I mean, it has been captured by the know-nothings, I think. There are too many people who think they have easy solutions. So, immigration, well, send them off to Rwanda. I mean, you know, that doesn't pass any smell test or any kind of humane test. And, of course, it didn't work. Brexit was another jolly jape that was supposed to help particularly the less advantaged people in Britain. And it hasn't. It's been a huge hit on the economy. It's people who've come in going for populist, easy answers without the, well, I get back to that word, you know, the sense of decency and maturity to know that it's tough out there. And you can't make promises. You can't flip-flop. You've got to be in for the long haul and stick with it. And so I think the Conservative Party is in meltdown. It has been captured by the right wing. The right wing might have been fine had it delivered, but the right wing, above all with its Brexit policy, hasn't succeeded, and neither has it with the other immigration policies, a complete failure. So many areas of British life, defence, you'd expect the right to be strong at defence. Well, it hasn't. Britain. Spending Britain's ability to defend itself is extremely low at the moment. Law and order. You'd expect criminal justice. You'd expect the Tories, right-wing Tories, to be all over that, and they haven't. So the right wing has failed, but it's captured the party and failed. So I think that the Conservative Party always reinvents itself, or to be correct, always has in the past. And it will come through, and in 10 years' time, maybe 15 years after yet another election defeat, it will come back and be reborn as that centrist party representing the whole country in all its diversity, in all its regional its regions, not just a party of the prosperous in the southeast, or not just a party of people who think that easy right-wing slogans are going to get you into power.
How difficult was it to be, because it would be very easy to write a book just saying the Conservative effect, 14 wasted years, full stop, thank you very much and good night, but you have to provide a balanced perspective. So how did you
as I started, there are a lot of areas where the Conservatives have done well. So education, for example, is one of those areas. Could have done better, but there have been some solid improvements, for example, in literacy and in quality of schools. There's been progress in welfare. There's been progress, really good progress in the environment, in science. And so you look at the country, and in 2024, there's a lot to be proud about to be British, and there have been some excellent government ministers who have done a thoroughly conscientious and proper job. So you need to balance it with that. I think that. Difficult though it's been with those external shocks that I mentioned, the really successful governments in history managed to turn those shocks that most governments have to their own advantage. And that was something that the Tories were unable to do. And they were swallowed up, engulfed by the crises, rather than seeing them as catalysts and opportunities for change and rethinking. Brexit is a prime example. There was a strong case for Brexit. If you were going to initiate it, you had then to make certain that you prioritise with a very clear plan about what you were going to do Brexit for, that Boris Johnson, who was the single most significant figure in Britain making Brexit happen, didn't have a plan. You know, he wasn't that interested in that plan about it. So I think, you know, that comes back to what one means about seriousness with people's lives and people's livelihoods and their children's lives and their parents' lives. I mean, it's a big deal to run the country. And so there were some real areas of significant improvement. The book is a collection of essays by some of Britain's most senior, impartial, and respected academics. All I did was edit it. And the conclusions that I reached with co-author Tom Edgerton will not be shared by all or perhaps any of the individual contributors, but they wrote what they wanted to write on their particular areas, I mean, the Constitution, housing and welfare and education and defence and foreign policy, and they could write what they wanted to, and that's what happens in an edited book, and then the editors write their own conclusion or verdict, and so the comments I've given you are those of myself and co-editor Tom Edgerton, not of the others, but that's how it looks to me and to us.
What do you hope the people will take from the Conservative effect?
Well, I think this point about trying to take it seriously and to hope that an incoming government is going to be much more joined up. It didn't help that you had five prime ministers. If we take the period of Labour rule just before, from 1997 to 2010, there were just two prime ministers, namely Blair and Brown, and just two Chancellors of the Exchequer, Gordon Brown again, and Alistair Darling. And that helped. So there was much more of a consistency of purpose and much more of a consistency of personnel at the top and across departments, and much more of a sense of common cause, and also much more sense of unity. I mean, the Conservatives have not been helped by the WhatsApp groups and by the lack of clarity about what the party stands for.
The book is called The Conservative Effect, 2010 to 2024, 14 Wasted Years. It's been edited by Sir Anthony Seldon and Tom Edgerton, and you'll be able to download, or you'll be able to order, excuse me, order the book from our own virtual bookstore. If people want to follow you online, where's the best place to the nicest possible way to find you?
To find what?
To find you on. Do you do the social media thing? Are you online? Where can people find up what you'll find out?
You know, I am hugely social, but I really don't. I'm just, you know, I'm also a head teacher. I run a big school. I'm a father. I go to church. I do lots of lots of interest.
You have a real social life.
It's fascinating. It's real people who you can touch and talk to. So, you know, and have conversations with in the same room. I mean, you know, you can do that.
It'll never catch on.
I've got to catch up with this social media stuff.
Which is why I spend the entire time talking to myself in a room normally, but here we go, but it's actually a radio station. The book
This is real.
The book is called The Conservative Effect, 2010 to 2024, 14 Wasted Years. It is edited by Tom Edgerton and Sir Anthony Seldon. Sir Anthony, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.